The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line. It's an open line today. Yesterday it was the chair of the planning committee, Rob Callister, MHK. And if you want to follow up on anything Mr. Callister had to say, then by all means do get in touch, or anything else that's on your mind. The floor is yours simply by calling 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. Is Willow the future? You heard that story? Willow is the future for the Isle of Man. And I see Percy Pig was in Stratton Street today. The Lieutenant Governor was there. They've cut the ribbon with an inflatable Percy Pig marking the store makeover at Marks & Spencer, a fully refurbished store in Douglas. They've been doing it for about the past. I don't know about you. I get very confused in the food hall. I don't know about you. On the side of that, though, there's a really strong rumour going around that a retail giant is leaving the Isle of Man. And we're waiting to have it confirmed officially, but the very strong rumour is that Next is going to be leaving the Isle of Man by the end of this summer. As soon as we get official confirmation of that, we'll bring you it. But that will be a big blow to Strand Street, certainly, as Next, the clothing retailer, also they do lifestyle homeware and things like that. But as soon as we know, we'll let you know. But that's the hot rumour at the moment. Andrew's with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Good day to you, Andy, listeners.
Talking of rumours, that one of yours was true.
All right. I have three items, but let's jump on that one. Bit disappointed, Andy, that the newsroom guys have not been able to get something from Mr. Crookall and government as to what actually the offer was that has been accepted. So that's very disappointing, bearing in mind government has a huge army, I'll put it like that, of media people. I think there's about 30 of them, is that right?
Well, they could certainly have a football match, put it that way.
Exactly, and they're not able to release a statement as to what the offer was that's been accepted. It's like, yeah, okay. My principal thing for calling actually was also Mr. Tim Crookall. When you drive in from Peel and you come towards St. John's, you pass the Cooley Ree site just by Tynwald Hill there, and it's got an east entrance which is close to the Tynwald Hill, and it's got a west entrance closer to Peel, and the west entrance is for disabled access, easy access. Yet if you were to look at the pavement and walk along the pavement, if you were a disabled person, you'd be taking your life in your hands, because the curbing is all totally gone and the vegetation is growing out from the wall. I've mentioned this twice to the DOI, but nothing has happened. This is like 6 months ago I mentioned it. Nothing has happened. Mr. Crookall, please, can you get something done about that? And the next third item was, I was shocked to discover that the Fire Festival in Peel has announced that its headline sponsor will be Orsted. Shocked. Because of the way that this huge company is effectively currying and buying favour and, let's use the word, corruption of Isle of Man residents into thinking this is all in our favour. And I'm even more shocked now, because I hope he'll come on and maybe say, Beach Buddies. My understanding is that they've accepted something like £30,000 from Orsted. Now, I spoke with Mr. Shakespeare this morning, and he said, well, we have to, from the Fire Festival, he said, well, we have to look at the festival's long-term sustainability. And I'm very disappointed, because obviously just short-term gain for some money as a sponsor, and likewise, and this could all go horribly wrong for the Isle of Man, from listening to the interviews that Phil had with the people from Garth. This could equally come round to offshore Peel and Lazare, and, you know, it's just accepting this money because it's there and offered.
Oh, yeah,
and
just,
as I say,
Andrew,
my
you,
mind
is corrupt. Could you just clarify? You mentioned the word corruption. I don't. I mean, that really doesn't apply here. That's not applicable, is it?
Well, it's corruption with a small c, because they're using their money to curry favour. I mean, why else are they? You know, they haven't yet. I mean, if they did have permission, fair enough. But they don't yet have permission. So, in my mind, they shouldn't be, let's say, pumping money into the Isle of Man via these sorts of events and making it look as though they're going to be here for the long term, when their whole scheme might end, might not get approval. But on the other hand, you see, people go, oh, well, they're good for the economy. Yes, we should have them, because look at what they're doing. And yet they're going to be basically putting all these pylons off the East Coast, and could easily do it off the West Coast.
But, I mean, they're a legitimate... I mean, what they're doing isn't illegal. They're a legitimate company, and they're using their funds as a PR exercise. It's a PR exercise, Andrew, and people presumably
will take that at face value. I realise that, but it's... Our people, is Joe Public aware that that's what it is? It's just PR, and that they're doing it just for their, well, PR for their gain, not for our gain. It's for their gain.
Well, the public will decide, Andrew.
No, we won't, though, will we? Because it's all going to come down to Comyn, whoever Comyn is. So the public is not going to decide. It's not as though there's going to be a referendum. It's going to be down to some politicians who we don't know who they will be in the next or subsequent administration.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just... Andrew, before you go, let me pose you one question. Yep. You're still there. Orsted have placed advertising on Manx Radio to advertise their public events. I mean, you're not suggesting we shouldn't take that?
If they're just advertising their public events, that's fine. But if they were to come on and say, oh, we want to underwrite the Andy Wint's Man in Line, etc., that would be wrong.
Okay. All right.
Because you are then... Manx Radio would then be benefiting from their PR.
Right, okay, all right.
Everybody,
I just thought good to hear from you. I thought I'd asked a question. Nathan's with us now. Hi, Nathan.
Hello there, how are you doing?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Just a subject about the housing yesterday. I was trying to get on yesterday to have a little moan about it. The housing over here, they're looking to build housing everywhere, and
yeah,
there's just not enough hospital facilities and dentists over here to accommodate all these people. And to be honest with you, I don't agree with all these asylum seekers coming over. I mean, I know it's just a rumour and stuff like that, but I don't agree with it.
Well, I mean, there are all sorts of rumours about that, but I mean, the fact is that it's the government's stated aim. It's Comyn, the chief minister's stated aim, to get the population to 100,000. Nathan, they want 100,000 people here because they reckon that the financial activity that would happen, all the commerce and the industry, will benefit us, and it'll come through in tax, and that'll pay for our public services. As you say,
but
we are struggling.
Yeah, but like,
we're struggling a bit with hospitals and dentists.
We are massively, because my girlfriend was, my fiance, sorry, was on the waiting list for, 13 years, and she's only just got one because a new dentist has come over in Port Erin. Do you know what I mean? And like, it's just frustrating because like you're getting all these kids going over to university, and they don't bother coming back because it's a load of rubbish over here.
So, what would you say to the politicians? What would you say to the politicians, Nathan, who advocate 100,000 population here, and we're struggling with dentists and doctors and what have you?
Instead of building more houses, build more dentists and invest in dentists and hospitals and everything that we need to survive, pretty much.
Right. Do you live and work on the island, obviously, don't you?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever considered leaving?
I have, yeah. Many times, yeah.
And what stopped you?
The safety. The safety of leaving your car open on the Douglas Promenade and not getting nicked.
Right, well, that's the compromise, isn't it? Obviously, on the Isle of Man, we're a safe, we're relatively crime-free over here. And, you know, in the UK, that's something that you take a step towards. So that's the compromise, isn't it? Do you trust the government to solve the problems with dentists and doctors?
No. No, I don't, because it's been going on for, like I say, me fiance's been waiting on the, she was waiting on the waiting list for 12 and a half years, nearly 13 years. And to be honest with you, that's ridiculous.
All right. Nathan, we appreciate it. I'm glad you got through today anyway, after not getting through yesterday. Rob Callister had some fairly forthright things to say yesterday. We talked about planning quite a lot, but he had some fairly forthright things to say about the direction of government and what we should be doing, including the creation of a tourist ministry, a department for purely for tourism, as we used to have before it got split up. Here's Julian now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. I agree with both of your callers and quite a few things on that. It's quite interesting. I found yesterday's programme with Rob Callister interesting as well. I find it refreshing that he was able to speak candidly about Mor Vanning.
That was interesting, wasn't it? I asked a question expecting him to say, I can't talk about that.
Unlike Daphne Kane and Michelle Hayward, and the latter, having seen the Mor Vanning deal, and they seem to refuse to give their opinions or even discuss any details on the Mor Vanning contract at all. Just further to what we're talking about with Ørsted, they've got some more problems with their finances. In the news yesterday, Riviera News reported that the UK Supreme Court has ruled that costs incurred for surveys and studies like environmental impact assessments for offshore wind farms don't qualify for capital allowances under the UK Capital Allowances Act of 2001. So that's going to cost companies like Ørsted many millions in extra taxation because they can't get the tax relief anymore. If anyone wants to see it, it's on the Supreme Court's website, supremecourt.uk/cases/UKSC-2025-0069. Now, this all started with problems at the West Duddon Sands offshore wind project off the Cumbrian coast, where Ørsted had failed to obtain appropriate environmental assessments or even approvals before proceeding with some aspects of the project. And the fallout of this has led to delays, enforced work stop, and much closer scrutiny of Ørsted's operations because of their lack of following the rules. The capital allowances ruling, which was also to do with West Duddon Sands, is just another problem for them now. I noticed their share price tumbled again yesterday when it was first reported. So you've got two Supreme Court rulings against Ørsted, one for planning violations and not following protocol, and the other for tax. So you've got to ask the question, are they trustworthy?
Well, I'm sure they are. I mean, they've been going for, they were Dong Energy before, weren't they? So they've been going for many, many years. Mm. They're backed by the Danish government, and they act according to the rules. That's one of the reasons you'll never hear Ørsted. We've asked Ørsted many times to come on, but they don't want to while the planning is still going on. So they're quite, you know, these are kind of above board guys. They know what they're doing. And, you know, the fact is, I can't understand why anybody's surprised what they're doing. They're a wind energy company and they're trying to put up a wind farm. There's nothing suspicious or nefarious about it. They're going about their business. That's what they do. It's what they're in business for. So, you know, what happens, obviously, share prices go up and go down, but they're not going anywhere, Julian.
I found it interesting, though, talking to Rob yesterday, he mentioned that their deal of the $2 billion over 35 years, that works out at $57 million a year.
Yeah.
Manx Care's budget increase last year alone was $50 million uplift. And what happens if the fisheries collapse? I believe, I stand to be corrected on this, I'm sure somebody will have a more accurate figure, but I believe that Manx fishing industry is worth around $10 million a year for the island. But if you factor in the multiplier effect of loss of work for the fishermen, you know, they go out of business and their families as well, if people end up on benefits, you end up with about an 8x multiplier effect. So the true cost to the island of losing our fisheries could be closer to $80 million a year, not forgetting the huge cultural loss to the island of losing our fisheries.
And all the business that goes through the ports as well.
Correct. How badly would the tourist industry be affected when you've got 87 shard-high wind turbines right off your coast?
Well, Julian, that's the point. We don't know. We don't know. There's nobody here who's gifted with you know, sight into the future. We've all got perfect hindsight in terms of foresight. This has never happened before. It's never happened to the Isle of Man, and it's never happened anywhere in the world on this size, and certainly not 6 miles offshore. So we don't know. So we're basically, we the public, are trusting the people in charge to make the correct decision for the Isle of Man.
The problem is that we're not getting any transparency. And, you know, what we're getting is a sort of a story about, oh, we're going to get money for this. But what happened? I mean, Ørsted are currently 90% down on their share price, and it's been that way for quite a long time now. What happens if Ørsted goes bust? They put these things in, and then you've got vast servicing or even decommissioning costs. Is that all going to fall on the Manx taxpayer? I mean, we're getting offered $57 million a year, maybe. We'll also maybe get some electricity through a cable, maybe. And if that cable comes to Groudle, we'll be responsible for the multiple millions to get it, the 4 or 5 miles to Pullrose to get it to the distribution point.
You know what? You know which figure I'm going to quote now, don't you, Julian?
29.5p.
Okay, that's it. That's what it all boils down to.
Yeah.
If somebody somewhere could say it's going to be above or below 29p, then we'd all be a lot wiser.
By the way, an interesting fact, Malta is in a similar situation to the island in that they don't have any meaningful renewables and they're using gas, although they're using liquid natural gas. So they have to, you know, reduce the pressure. So they have, there's another process to get their gas. Their current price per unit is 12p a unit. They're in Europe and they're using gas like we are. So if we're paying 29.5, why is Malta paying 12?
Presumably, are they getting it from the Sahara? Because there are lots of LNG factories, I think, in the Sahara. So it's a lot quicker to get to them than it will be anywhere else.
I believe one of the big factors is that the government are being very supportive of the people and making sure that they're sheltering them from the the costs to try and keep the businesses going. But that's something that maybe somebody else knows a bit more about. But
okay.
Interesting fact. I mean, yeah, it's a lot cheaper. Anyway, thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thank you, Julian. Let's get back to, I think we've got Tony B with us. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Andy. How are you doing?
Very well. Very well, thank you. How's yourself?
I'm not bad, not bad. I just wanted to come on. I heard the man, was it yesterday or the day before? I keep forgetting his name. Who was talking about the Ørsted wind turbines and said he couldn't make a comment basically because he doesn't know anything, which is fair enough. I think that's very fair. And that, I think, is the whole point of the issue of net zero, everything else. They're not telling us what is the real situation. We want to have all these wind turbines because we think it will make money. We think, that's the government, but not necessarily the people. And the people have not been consulted on 90% of what they do. Now, my question is not about that, because I don't think you'll get anywhere with it, because they'll just do what they usually do, not tell the truth and basically just skirt around it and answer another question. At least the man yesterday or the day before, at least he was clear, precise, and he told you the truth, which I that's a refreshing start within the government. But what I'm asking is, he said, and if, correct me if I'm wrong, he said, if I remember correctly, that nothing would be decided in this parliament, nothing would be decided in the next. It will be the one after that. And it's not really a past parliament, it's a House of Keys.
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
That's what he said, right.
This is over 5 years away.
So over 10 years away, if that's the case.
Yeah.
So it's going to be 10 years before we know the answer. And we still won't get told what the detail is until it's done. You can bet on that, because it's the same as we can't tell you how much the landing stage is going to cost. We can't tell you how much the boat final cost is. We can't tell you anything because we don't want to tell you. And the same applies to the prom, etc., etc., etc. Where did the money go for the lines, the horse tram lines? Oh, we don't know. We've lost it. It's gone somewhere. We spent it. And once again, we don't know the answer because they don't tell us the answer. Now, assuming that's going to carry on, what are we going to do between the now and the next 10 years' time, when we might or might not get some money from Ørsted for these gigantic windmills, and we might or might not have a cable coming to us, which might give us some electricity when the wind's blowing? Because when the wind doesn't blow, where are we going to get our electricity from? I'm just asking.
Well, presumably, I mean, they've not said they're going to decommission Paul Rose.
No, they keep saying it's come to the end of its life, don't they?
Well, yeah, but it's only a jet engine. You can buy a new jet engine.
Well, that's exactly my point. So my question is, new jet engines, well, it's gas turbine, actually. It's not really a jet engine. It's slightly stationary. So it's quite a bit different from a normal jet engine. And the gas you're putting in there is gas, not fuel. So it is different. But basically the same principle as what you're saying. But to order one of those, or get one repaired, you've got to shut part of the station down. So you have to actually take the turbine out if you're going to have it rebladed, or you have to, I don't even know who made those turbines, whether it was Rolls-Royce, GE, I don't know where they got them from. But it's a long time ago. But they can always be repaired, put it that way, maintained, repaired. Now, my question is, what are we doing about that? Where is our man in charge of the electricity in the Isle of Man, who's going to tell us what their plan is? Because there doesn't seem to be a plan to have a backup system just in case Ørsted go collapsed and we don't want a turbine. And I think there should be a referendum without a doubt, because I don't think you can trust the government. Because as somebody just said, I think they don't tell us the truth and they don't tell us anything. And it's all just down to something said behind closed doors. Which was a referral yesterday, or the day before. He actually said, yeah, we'll have a closed-door meeting. Why are we having closed-door meetings? Why can't we have open public meetings? I mean, I struggle with this. And also, you can't make a comment on this. This is something that seems to be, everybody says, oh, you can't make any comments for the government. They can't say they don't agree with it or do agree with it. Because then they would have a position and they couldn't be involved in the decision-making.
Yeah.
Well, that is definitely not democratic.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, Tony, during the, I mean, the election is in September, presumably,
yeah.
And we'll be asking the candidates, do they support it? So presumably, I don't know whether the candidates may say, I can't say because I might be in Comin. So that would be...
Well, Andy, that is not democratic. That's not telling people what they are going to do. Therefore, that's why we end up in the situation we're in now, where we don't know what's going on, because nobody tells us. So my position is one of, you need to be able to say, full stop, I support this, I support that, I don't support that, and I don't support that. Please vote for me. But this idea that you can't then vote on something that you've already stated you support is nonsense. How can that be? I mean, is that normal in politics? Because it's not, as far as I know.
Yeah, but we've
it
never
might be
had,
normal over here, but it's not normal in the rest of the
we've
world.
We've never had this situation before. This is all new ground for us. I mean, because this potential, this array of wind turbines is enormous. I mean, it is gigantic, and we've never had anything like it before on the Isle of Man. So it's new ground for us all, Tony.
Yes, but in that case, we should know all the facts first before they make a decision. And I think we should definitely have either a tick box, I agree with this or I don't agree with this, within the electoral or within the documents we get for the election. That we can say, I don't want a wind turbine. I don't want net zero. Because net zero has been, now people are waking up to the fact, to get to net zero, you're going to have to buy carbon credits, which means paying out money to people with nothing other than a piece of paper says, I can sell you some carbon credits. I can save you your bacon on making this happen. Carbon credits are just a piece of paper. They're not real. We should have our own carbon credits by putting forests up. That's a better way of doing it.
There were. You've hit on it. We'll start Manx carbon credits, Tony.
Well, I think that's what the government should actually do. You could say, okay, I'm going to put what's it called? The thing on the top of the roofs where you get, effectively, you can get electricity from it.
Right? Well, the solar panels.
So why can't I put solar panels up in the government, and the government can then say, we are saving X amount of solar of carbon credits and we can sell them to somebody else. Right. But they don't want to do that, because that would mean they're not going to buy any from somebody else.
All right.
And there are people out there today who have started their position of selling carbon credits to the Manx government, because they know it's going to happen. It's got to happen if they're going to get to net zero.
All right.
And net zero is something that now everybody's thinking about twice now. I mean, the US has dumped it completely. Why? Because they don't need it. Because they've got enough oil and gas for themselves.
Okay.
And they're not intending to go down the electricity road of putting up wind turbines.
Okay. All right, Tony, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for calling today.
My interest, Andy, I want to know what they're going to do going forward for the power station. You need to ask somebody who might know the answer.
Okay, thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Sharon dropped a note in just to say, is it true that the UK is going ahead with these Rolls-Royce mini nuclear generators? Do you know we talked about these? It's got to be years ago, 3-4 years ago on Man in Line. We spoke to the guy from Sheffield University and I think Rolls-Royce in Derby. The UK Chancellor of the Exchequer signed a deal with a firm owned by Rolls-Royce to develop the UK's first mini nuclear reactor. It's called Great British Energy, and announced a deal on Monday, allowing work to start immediately on creating three small modular reactors. They're called SMRs. These are small nuclear power stations designed to be installed as prefab modules in the hope the technology can be built faster than traditional plants like this. Their new one they're getting, I think it's Hinkley Point C. Basically, it's like the same sort of thing that powers a nuclear submarine. Or you could use on an island, which is something that we talked about a few years ago. Now, would you stomach that, a small modular reactor on the Isle of Man? Would that be something that would be okay? And if so, where would you put it?
This is the Isle of Man talking. The Man in Line.
The exclusive Kärcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
Our parents were struggling with the stairs, but were determined to stay in their family home. We contacted Acorn Stairlifts. I took them to the showroom to try the stairlifts and found the right solution for their needs. The process was simple. They even offered next day installation. Choose the island's first choice for stairlifts, Acorn. For a free no obligation quotation, call Acorn Stairlifts on 672 414 or call into their Douglas showroom at Key House on South Quay. Acorn Stairlifts, keeping loved ones safe in the home they love.
EVF, fueling the island and fueling you. With a great range of fresh foods and everyday essentials at our filling stations. And always great offers too. Ellen Vannin Fuels.
At 5:30, you can join me, Marilyn Crellin, for Chatelaire.
It's another example of how looking at the island's history can spiral out to wider connections.
There's a great archive here in the Isle of Man, looking at actual people's lived experiences, people's past lives, down to that level of individuals themselves.
That's all in Chatelaire with me, Marilyn Crellin, today at 5:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
There was a message in yesterday that it didn't get to, but I'll just let you know what the comments are. 715 said, further to Mr. Callister's comments about social housing, he said the threshold should rise to £50,000 for a year for a couple in a social house. That's £250,000 over the five-year assessment period for a social house. That isn't right and goes against what social housing was intended for. On the same subject, 696 said, council housing, and they're doing checks on couples in their council houses. A couple can earn a combined £30,000, and if they earn more, their rent is increased. Who these days is in a full-time job earning £15,000 a year? It's just the local housing authorities looking for more money from couples renting council houses. Well, Mr. Callister was quite firm on the fact there is a need for housing on the Isle of Man, and quite what we do about it. I mean, we're building lots of houses, and yet still there are people that need houses. Have you got the answer? John's on now. Hi, John. Thanks for waiting. Oh, he's not waiting anymore. In that case, let's go to... I think we've got... it's Chris with us now. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Andy. It's Chris here. Just interested in the two questions you quite reasonably posed. Can we trust Ørsted and can we trust our politicians? Well, the answer to both is no, and let me explain why. The first the reason you can't trust the politicians is they don't know anything about the contract because it's been hidden from them, and the system will not allow them to see it. So how any politician can possibly make a decision on issues that they don't know the detail of, frankly, completely baffles me. Then moving on to the issue of Ørsted. Can we trust Ørsted? No, of course we can't. Why can't we? Because they have veered away completely from industry standards treatment in the way they've treated the Isle of Man. If you look at other typical, say, 1.4 gigabyte proposed wind farms around the Isle of Man, those contracts are enjoying what they call option payments from Ørsted and other typical companies of about £100 million a year. So on that basis, on industry standard basis, we should now have pocketed £400 million in option payments since 2022, when the agreement was last reviewed. What are we getting? A paltry, pathetic £20,000 a year, more or less, if one can guess that. And that's so we've lost up front. What about afterwards, if and when this wind farm came on stream, say 2035? Just a quick issue about capital allowances. That would be an Isle of Man company subject to Isle of Man company law, and that includes 100% capital allowances. Now, I have a spreadsheet which shows the industry standard profit and loss, if you like, through the next 10 to 15 years on projection for Ørsted. And the cost of building that massive, massive wind farm, the biggest of its type in the world, will be around about £4 billion. Now, that would mean that all of that would be attributable to capital allowances. And believe it or believe it not, as you choose, it would take Ørsted till around about on sort of average inflation rates. It would take them till about 2050 before they started paying the Isle of Man tax, which is extraordinary. So if you took the £50,000 a year that they're £50 million a year they're talking about, more or less £5 million would come from seabed rental and the rest would come from tax. So what we're doing, Andy, is we're selling our soul for nothing until 2050, which is absolutely ludicrous. And we're agreeing to, we seem, the government seems to be interested in accepting an enormous wind farm, which would never, ever get planning permission in the UK, because these bigger than anything else in the world turbines will be closer to the shore than the UK would allow. So Ørsted are here because they can take us for a ride, and that's exactly what's happening. I think the politicians have lost the plot. I think the officers find it completely beyond them. For example, you quite rightly said we've never seen anything like this before. Well, neither of the officers, and they are trying to cope beyond their competencies. And what we should have done get-go was to call in really top experts to protect our interests. We are blundering through a complete and utter shambles. And just one final point. Somebody talked to you about the damage to tourism. There's an organisation or a subgroup within Treasury who have submitted a paper to the examining board that you will be aware are currently looking at this proposal. And that subdivision of the Department of Treasury, did I say tourism? Department of Treasury, have stated that it will damage tourism on the Isle of Man. It's a complete and utter mess.
Okay, Chris, how much would make this ride? How much could Ørsted pay to the Isle of Man that you would agree to that would make this right?
Nothing. Because remember, when they came in 2015, because they've had their contract reviewed 2015, 2017, 2022, and quietly, surreptitiously, they've been getting the turbines bigger and bigger and bigger. If you went back to 2015 and adopted a more modest scheme, and they won't do that now because it's the big ones that make the big money, and they were further out, you know, I'd be ambivalent about it. But the way it's moved, the way it's gone, the way it's now turning out, nothing at all would persuade me that this is the right thing to do. There's going to be, it's going to ruin the east coast of the Isle of Man. When people see the size of those turbines, it's too late. And incidentally, talking about too late, one final point. If anybody's interested, if they want to go back and look at a written question that Michelle Haywood answered in Timbald, I think it was a written answer because it was September, October time, and she was asked, well, where are things with the Ørsted project? And Michelle Haywood, my words, not hers, but I'm trying to give the meaning of it. She said, well, as long as Ørsted comply with all the requirements placed before them, listen to this, they will have the right to call the option up as the tenant. Now, that suggests to me, Andy, that we've hit another chasm, another black hole, another pitfall. And it would seem to me that there's a distinct possibility that if the Isle of Man tried to pull out now, that Ørsted, if they wanted to continue, could sue the Isle of Man government. And obviously it would be in the millions, because otherwise it wouldn't be worth their while, and they wouldn't have put it in a contract, if they have, that we've never seen. You know, if this wasn't so damn serious for the future of the Isle of Man, we're now verging, we're easing towards a scandal. Anyway, if I might be allowed to say so, I've done two podcasts. Another one with Paul Molson today comes up at 4 o'clock, if people want to hear more about it.
Okay. All right. Good to hear from you, Chris. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Andy. Bye-bye.
All right, 16 minutes before. Full disclosure, of course, that was former MHK Chris Robertshaw. Can somebody from Ramsey Commissioners explain why the legal costs have gone up from £2,000 or £3,000 to over £43,000 this month? Says texter 942. Could you give me more details? 942. Anna on 576 says, regarding Next leaving, might there be an opening for Primark? Next is very expensive and the clothes are boring. I see. Marks and Spencer have made a big mistake. It was great before they changed it. Now it's so small downstairs, and they've got rid of the cafe upstairs. Everybody bumps into each other with the trolleys. It's like wacky racers. I'd like to comment, says this correspondent, on being asked to shop local when it's often more expensive. A vocal minority complained about Tesco buying ShopRite stores because they're cheaper, yet Spar has been allowed to open at least 15 stores, and two of their directors live off the Isle of Man. Nobody says a word. It's not illegal, is it? I mean, Spar is just a collective. It's a Dutch collective. You just get the chance to do the franchise, don't you? M&S expands and everybody supports it, but it's pricey. I like M&S to a point, but who's helping people in this cost of living crisis? Heat or eat is a big issue. Wealthier pensioners moving here aren't affected. So if you ask me, says George, we need Primark to create jobs and provide value. We all shop online anyway. If we can have a large M&S, why can't we have a big Primark to balance things out if Next are going? We're told there isn't enough footfall. I don't believe it, says George. Businesses expand for profit, not out of goodwill, and without competition, prices stay high.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
Whether starting a new business or building up your existing business, come and talk to the accounts and tax experts at Nicola Bowker & Co. With their holistic approach to business advice, Nicola Bowker & Co. will work with you to achieve success. For accounts that work, call 861271.
Visit Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers opposite the RNLI shop. I
love to drive! Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Manin Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Manin Motors, Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Manin Motors.
At Ramsey Garden Centre, enjoy exclusive savings and get inspiration for your home or garden. And as stock arrives every week, drop in or follow our Facebook page. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Claire Christian is on Monday on Man in Line. Claire Christian is the DHSC minister, and her chief officer, Tim O'Neill, will be on. So obviously DHSC work very closely with Manx Care. So any questions, you can get them in the meantime. You can call the answer phone on 682631 or email maninline@maxradio.com or take a chance on Monday, next Monday, 20th. Claire Christian, MHK, and Tim O'Neill, the minister and chief officer from the DHSC. John, we found John now. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy.
What's on your mind, John?
Andy, just a small point. It's only a trivial point, but it's still a point. Chip shops. You go into the chip shop, you buy sausage and chips, fish and chips. Now, if you cast your mind back to when you were young, you used to be able to smell the vinegar aerating through the paper.
Yeah.
They were that hot. Now, what they're doing is they're preloading these heaters with about 50 portions of chips. And by the time you get your chips, they're warm. I'm not saying cook them on demand, but you're not far off at the rush hour between, say, 12 and 2. Cook them near enough on demand. So when you buy fish and chips, bearing in mind you're paying £4 now for a bag of chips, they should be piping hot, and they're not. You go into the chip shop and, it's not what it used to be. They've really got to start looking at it and up the game.
Right.
You know, you want piping hot chips, crispy chips. Not chips that have been in the heater for an hour and a half.
Well, I mean, I'll take issue with it. When you said this is not important, it is. It's very important. Chips are very important.
Yeah, well, it's one of the things we eat, isn't it? You know, fish and chips, sausage and chips, chips and cheese. The chips aren't what they used to be because they're preloading them heaters. You know, okay. They've got maybe 50 portions of chips. And they're basically just mush. So chip shops, if you are listening, alter the way you cook the chips. Cook them near enough on demand so they're piping hot, crispy, and the people will have to wait. People don't mind waiting for the chips of the good chips, you know.
Yeah. John, you've made me hungry, yeah. By the way. Thanks very much for that.
Yep, the old cake. Okay. Cheers, now.
Good to hear from you. Thanks. We need hot chips. There's nothing... Oh, let's face it. If you're going to have chips, they've got to be piping hot. Here's Ken with us now. Hi, Ken. I'm trying to find Ken. In that case, I think we've got Patrick with us now. Let's see if Patrick's here. Yes, hello, Patrick.
Hello, Andy.
Hi, Patrick.
Andy, not the debt that my prophet left it in the MEA.
Yeah,
when does that finish?
Oh, I mean, crikey, that's years away, isn't it?
Yeah, but how much does it cost the taxpayer? What he's done, you know, and is this a way of kind of putting it under the carpet by having wind turbines? You know, it's got a lot of issues when it gets voted on. The government say, oh well, we can recoup that debt which he put it into, which our government put it into. Not just him, it's the government itself.
Yeah.
Whoever is on the board should never agree to that bank. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Let's take the personalities out of this. We are where we are with this. Yeah. And we've got
I'm just talking about the debt.
Yeah, we've got a big debt that needs to be serviced. So the Manx Utilities, obviously, they brought in the water board and it's all Manx Utilities now. So they're having to juggle with this huge debt. And as you say, there's never really any sort of update on this as to where it is and when it's going to finish, Ken. So you'd like more information, yeah?
Yeah, because if you can get the information, Andy, it would be brilliant, because we'd know then whether this wind turbine is a way of kind of get out of the catch-22 situation.
I think it's around $300 million, Ken. Patrick.
Well, to me, Andy, as you say, it's got to be... It's got to be above board the way they deal with this wind turbine thing, not making decisions based on we can hide that debt, sort of thing.
Well, the thing is that we employ politicians, and obviously in the public sector we employ people to act with probity, and you know, so everything. So let's assume that everybody is acting in the right way, but it would be nice if we get more of the picture, if we get more information, and we know some numbers, Patrick.
That would be agreed, yes. I think the politicians are standing for election now. We've got to know exactly what's on the table on all issues. I mean, the roads are in a terrible state. Let's get real now. Let's say we're going to have 25 million or 30 million spent on roads, so much million spent on this and so many million spent on that. Let's have a few facts. Instead of standing to election and saying, I'm Manx, I've been on the island 25 years or whatever it is, let's have a bit more facts-based on the election this year.
Okay, all right. We appreciate it, Patrick. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, bye now. Bye.
This is what's called the MEA bond, the Manx Electricity Authority. Do you remember the MEA? Used to have shops and everything, didn't it? The MEA bond refers to the borrowing taken out by the former Manx Electricity Authority, now part of Manx Utilities. In simple terms, a bond is basically a long-term loan raised from investors to fund major infrastructure. In this case, the MEA bond was used to help pay for upgrades to the Isle of Man's electricity system, including work at Pullrose Power Station and the undersea electrical interconnector to the UK, which has been humming away very nicely. I remember sitting in this very studio when they were laying it with the Jules Verne was the ship that did it from Bispham in Blackpool to just below Manx Radio at Portskillion. It all comes in there. The cost of repaying that borrowing, including interest, is built into the electricity pricing over time, which is why it's often mentioned in discussions about bills, the MEA bond. Now, the borrowing linked to the former MEA, often referred to as the MEA bond, was originally in the region of $300 million when it was taken out to fund major infrastructure. Now, according to Tyndall Papers and the Manx Utilities updates, that debt's been gradually reduced over time through repayments funded by electricity charges. You and me, the kettle, the microwave, the heating and all that. Now, the exact outstanding balance changes year by year, and there's no single up-to-date figure published in one place that can be confirmed. So, bluntly, we don't know. Well, somebody knows, but we don't know. But it remains a significant long-term liability still being paid down. So it was $300 at the start, gradually being paid down. By how much, what it is, we don't know. So in short, $300 million reducing. Hasn't been fully cleared. Does that make sense? More messages in. I know lots of people have been to university and then come back to the Isle of Man to live. Migration has always happened, says Jan on 126. It's a good thing, otherwise we'd all be very closely related. Well, there is that. There's political pressure within Denmark to withdraw financing from Orsted, says 068. Tell us more information about that, would you? And here is a request for some clarity from the police on what the public's supposed to do with used needles and syringes. Now, this texter, I haven't got the number, but the WhatsApp has sent me a photo of needles. I found this one on Gansey Shore Beach, Shore Road Beach, while walking my dog. I took it to Castletown Police Station, as I've done a few times before, but the station was locked. I used the phone on the wall, which connects you to Douglas. After going through the options, I see, I spoke to somebody who tried calling Castletown. Nobody answered, despite somebody being inside. I was then advised to take it where? To a doctor's surgery and put it in their sharps bin. I was trying to do the right thing by bringing it to the police, and I didn't expect to be told to go elsewhere with it. Could police clarify what's the correct procedure in this situation if you find a needle or a syringe somewhere? Brian said, I tried to get through to Rob Callister, but anyway, the question was, if he's re-elected, will he get rid of everyone employed in recent years on climate change and make a commitment to withdraw from the climate change agenda? It's costing us a fortune. America, Russia and Israel don't seem to be committed to it. So why should a small island, a tiny island like us, be paying for the world's problems, says Brian. We're back with an open line tomorrow. Thanks for getting involved today. Thanks for your message and your call today. Thanks to Chris on the phones. Enjoy your Thursday. WINT.